I wonder if any of you enjoy doing jigsaw puzzles. Yeah, one or two do. That's good. Thank you for the waves from the back. Well, I'm sure if we each had a piece of a jigsaw now, not one of us would necessarily know from the piece we have what the complete picture would look like. We'd only have a part of it. And each piece is part of a larger puzzle. And all the pieces of a jigsaw, if it's a good jigsaw, are different and unique from the other pieces in that puzzle. Although I have witnessed, if you go to Treasure Times on a Tuesday, and there are some here who do, and they've been doing a jigsaw for a long while, I notice there's occasionally, I'm not mentioning names here, the desire to force a piece in where it doesn't go. Just to try and get this pesky puzzle done. But jigsaws, they are all unique. By studying it, gazing at it, and analysing it, we only make a sense when we're doing that one piece that it fits into a bigger picture. We are pieces of God's jigsaw. Each one of us is unique, different, and beautiful, and God has designed us that way. We are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, and we read a few weeks ago in Ephesians chapter 2, created to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. But every one of us is different. It's only together we become the masterpiece, that whole picture that God has designed. Separate we don't. This is why church is so important. Belonging to the church, playing our part. It's only then our life makes sense as we see the part of the jigsaw that we are fitting together to create the great and the beautiful. In coming together in a jigsaw, we find the picture makes sense. We find a fulfillment for our life. And that's the purpose of what we're looking for today in our Transformed Living service, the Transformed Life, is that we are different. And here's the point. If you want to make sense of your life and find and fulfill your life purpose, you won't get the answer by just studying your life. It will only make sense when you study the bigger picture of God's purpose. What is God's bigger picture? In Ephesians 1 to 2, Paul has already laid out God's eternal purpose to call to himself both a united people and then the whole cosmos in Christ. In our text today, Ephesians 13, 1 to 13. So let's start again. Ephesians 3, 1 to 13. It's written down correctly here. I'm just not reading it right. Paul starts by talking about his own individual purpose. And then he quickly returns to the theme of the big, grand, eternal purposes of God, which we see in verses 10 to 11, which reads, that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The focal point of this verse is the church. The plan is for the Lord to display his manifold wisdom to the principalities and power of this world and to the angels, both the good and the fallen. The word manifold can be translated as many colored, like a huge, beautiful picture. It includes the Jews, the Gentiles, all nations, tribe, and the universal church. God is displaying his many colored wisdoms with stunning display to the angels of a called out, chosen people. That is us, the church. So let me, with that in mind, briefly highlight three things concerning your life purpose. And these things I want us to take away and respond to God. And the first is this: God has a part for you to play. God has a part for you to play. Some people don't have patience for big puzzles. I put my hand up. I can't understand why people would spend a day doing a 1,000-piece jigsaw. What is the point? But my family, the children and Vicky and my in-laws used to love a jigsaw at Christmas. And so I would go along and I would help. Because you see, 1,000 pieces is just too much for anyone to do. So if I reduce it to 999 by putting one in my pocket, the job has suddenly become much easier. Or not. You know the feeling when you get to the end of the puzzle and discover that some piece is missing. And you've spent all those hours and you start to search the floor. And why did we get a jigsaw where the pieces are so similar to the colour of our flooring? Has anybody got it? In our house, Dad? Empty your pockets. Not many people, having worked that far, would say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. We nearly completed the jigsaw. No. We would hunt high and low until we found the missing piece and then fitted the piece into the puzzle. And that's what God does for us. He's not content for us to be lost from the big picture. He goes out to find us, rescues us, and then he wants to fit us into his picture, the church, the part he has for us to play. He wants us to reach our full potential. Individually, we don't make up the pieces, but we play a unique role in displaying his glory. We need to put the piece in so that we can function for what we have been designed for. From Ephesians, we can see that our purpose is much a gift of God's grace as it is our salvation. Yes, we talk about our salvation and how important it is to come to faith in Jesus, to have eternal life and have that security of being saved by Jesus. And we've looked at that in the previous chapters of Ephesians. But now God says, and there's more. It's not about life after death. It's about life before death. It's about fulfilling the purpose. In Ephesians 3, verse 2, Paul says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. This is the gift of purpose. It is the same in verse 7. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Paul knew that not only his salvation, but his calling as an apostle, his life purpose, was a gift of God's grace. Each one of us have been given a gift of God's grace, a life purpose. You might say, I don't know what my gift is. We're going to come to that in a moment. But the thing we need to understand is the gift that God has given us, it's not for us to decide how we use, but for his glory. It's for us to give to him. He goes on in chapter 4, which we'll look at in the next series from Ephesians, to highlight what was true for him and what is true for every single Christ follower. To each one, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. To each one, grace has been given. To each one of us, God has given gifts. What's the gift God has given you? Are you using it for his glory? Are you using it in his church? Have you made your gifts available for God? Well, when we took up the offering, we gave our gifts of money. But what about our other gifts? As a church, aren't we blessed by the flowers each week? I could not do that. If I spent 6 weeks with a bunch of flowers, they would still look a mess. I praise God for the team who week by week bless us with this vision of God's creation. That's not my place. That's not my gift. But we have people who are gifted to do that. What's your gift? And have you offered it to God for him to you? How do we find out and know what our purpose is? Well, firstly, it's by revelation. When we sense God speaking to us, which is what happened for the Apostle Paul on his journey, the sense of God speaking into his life. And for some of us, as we think about the gifts we have, it will come by revelation as God speaks into our lives and says, you are to be. For me, that was a story of some 30 years ago in a big top at Spring Harvest. I was happy. I was enjoying life. I was a youth leader in a church in my spare time, and I was running a business in my main time. And Vicky and I had known each other for a year at that point, and Vicky was seeking her future and said, when we go to Spring Harvest, we're going to pray about what her future was. So I was praying for God to reveal his future to Vicky, and I heard this voice say to me, Ian, go leave your business and go into ministry. Frightening. And when I came out of that meeting, Vicky said to me, did you hear God speak? And I said, well, yes, I did, but not for you. But God had spoken the same, very same word into Vicky's life. That very same time, she was to go and leave and go to study theology. And that we were to be both leading churches. Wow. And Vicky today celebrates 9 years since her ordination. She didn't know that until I told her this morning. Aren't I good at keeping records? Or Facebook saying, do you know what happened 9 years ago? That moment where that revelation from God. And maybe today God's going to speak into your life and give you a revelation and say, I have my hand upon you and you will be. The challenge is not to have it as a possession you own, but as an offering to God and his church that God can use. Second way we find out is by consultation. Often we need help to discuss it with others so we can be helped to discern where we best fit. And often that comes from a conversation with a church leader, with a pastor, with one of the deacons, where you say, can we pray together? Can you help me find where I fit, what my gifts are? And thirdly, it can be by experimentation. And this can be the most helpful for some people. Learn what you are called to do through doing. There are many places and many ways you can serve God's church. But often we never know because we never try. And I want to say as a church, we want people to serve. And if any time it's not going well, let's have an honest conversation about it and find where it is the best place for you to serve. Not as a sense of failure, but as a sense of discovery. Because there's nothing better than discovering what God has shaped us to do and to be able to do it for his glory. This is not a static thing either. The more we get involved, the more we will get into that place where we really know that we're serving God as he has called us, and we will sense the flow. Time doesn't matter. If it's something you were born for, it's a lifelong mission. So God has a part for you to play. Have you discovered that part? Secondly, God has a people for you to reach. God has placed each and every one of us on earth, rescued us by grace, and given us a unique shape in order that we might help, bless, and reach others for Christ. You will never find your true life purpose by just living for yourself. You need to live beyond yourself to see others, other lives transformed. The Apostle Paul was very clear about the people that God had called him to reach, the Gentiles, who are the non-Jews, that's most of us, and the vast majority of the world then and now. Notice his sense of clarity. It starts with Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Called by Jesus, imprisoned for Jesus, sharing Jesus' plans for the Gentiles. In verses 3 to 6, we see that the Gentiles share together in the promises of God. In verse 8, summarizes his mission, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And it's the same for you and for me. First, we have as a mission as individuals, for those in our workplace, our neighborhood, our social sphere. Your job is not just a job, it's the way for you to represent Christ where you are. That's where Christ has placed you. And we are called to bless. That's a word we use a lot, isn't it? Bless. I want us to just look at that with the five letters of bless. Imagine, and it's going to come up on the PowerPoint, the B for bless. Begin with prayer. You want to see God work? Begin with prayer. Lord, open up opportunities for me. Lord, I care about that person. I want to pray into their life. I want to be there for him. Begin with prayer. And then there's the L. Listen. Oh, we're very good at giving answers, but we've never understood the question because we've not stopped to listen. God calls us to listen. Listen to the world. Listen to our work colleagues. Listen to our friends. Hear what they are saying. Do you notice very often when Jesus was speaking into lives, it was a conversation that was happening. He would start to talk about to people, what is it you want? What is it you need? He would listen to them. Listen. The E, eat. Do you know what? The service of eating together, sharing time with one another. Is there somebody God's calling you to take out for a coffee or for lunch to just be with, that you can share life together? It's interesting how often in the scriptures the miracles were around food. Jesus' significant moments with his disciples were around food. It's a place of speaking into life. It's a place where we need to know. And maybe as a church, we need to learn to eat more together. The first S, serve. Yeah, it's not all about words. It's not all about words. Sometimes it's just to serve someone. You need some shopping getting, I can do that for you. You need a lift somewhere, let me give you a lift. You need somebody to come and just be with your husband while you go out, I'll go there. I'll sit with them. I'll babysit the children. The way to serve. And then finally, to share the story. Share the story that God has given you to share. I hope that's helpful as we use the word bless. But beginning with prayer, listening to one another, eating together, serving one another, sharing the story is a way that we can use our gift set for God's glory. So we're called to bless, but we also have a mission to the community. There are amazing stories of what local churches have been doing across the whole of this nation, from initiatives like the Noise and Hope Together to serve the community. We are called to reach out to the people with the gospel and to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to a lost world. You may have heard of the German evangelist Rainer Bonnke. In the mid-1990s, he felt God saying to write a booklet called Minus to Plus and to distribute it as part of a mission to the whole of the UK. When he first heard the Lord, he questioned the Lord, saying, "But surely, Lord, I am not the best qualified to do this." And he heard the Lord say, "Actually, you're the third choice. I asked my first choice and they said no. I asked number two and they said no." Monkey said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do it." Well, whatever you make of the story, let me encourage you. There is a people for us to meet. Let's do it. And if God puts his hand upon our life, let me just give you a clue. The easiest answer is yes. You look through the whole of scriptures, look at the call of Moses. Oh, how he argued with God. Jonah, he didn't want to do what God said. Jeremiah, "I'm too young, I can't do it, God." And believe me, I shortened the story of my call because I argued with God for months. And God said, "Come on, Ian, I've got a plan for you." And he says to you, "Come on, I've got a plan." So God has a part for us to play, a people for us to reach, but also a place for us to serve. Back to our jigsaw. Each piece is supposed to make up the whole, but if it's going to fit, we have to find the other pieces that it's supposed to connect with. We have previously discussed in this series that we are citizens of God's kingdom, members of his family, and are living stones in God's temple. Another picture of the church is members together of one body. Ephesians 3 verse 6 says this: "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus." We are one body. The key is to get into a team, to get connected, and to start serving alongside others. Our overall motivation is to serve, is our love for our Heavenly Father. He has given all of us so that our service comes out of our hearts that are thankful for his grace and love. It is wonderful to think that God wants to partner with us in his work. What a privilege. What a privilege to be able to partner with God. And this picture of us as members of his body is hugely significant in Paul's understanding of purpose as Christians. He picks this up again in chapter 4, where he talks about the body growing strong and healthy, speaking the truth in love. We will all grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body is joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Ephesians 4, 15, 16. Some people, though, think they are insignificant and not needed. Many of us have got cars. Have you ever thought about what keeps the car going, apart from fuel? There are many parts. Some of those parts you don't even know exist until they go wrong. Whether it's a relay. I mean, it's not like the old cars where you just used to go and rub the spark plug and make sure the gap was right and put it back in. They're far more complicated these days, aren't they? But there is little parts that you discover when they go wrong. Maybe a fuse. And you know, the car only works when every single one of the parts, insignificant or major, whether it's your clutch or the gearbox, to a fuse, every single part is as important to making that car work well and efficiently. Any part of it which is not right, any part which is taken out, causes the whole car to struggle. Any part of God's body that is not connected and serving causes the church, God's church, not to reach its full potential. You're not insignificant. You a prayer warrior? Get involved in the prayer of the church. You a musician? Get involved in the music. You like to serve? Come and serve. You can do flowers? Come and do flowers. You a leader? Get yourself known. You good with young people? Our young people need you. And I could go on and on. You need to come and serve in the meeting place. Are you someone who can listen? Are you a pastoral worker? Yes, I could go on and on. Are you good at repairing buildings? Good at advising. There's lots of good at advising. Whether your advice is good is another matter. Is it time for you to serve? Maybe you used to serve and you stopped and you got out of the habit. God has a place for you to serve, and your calling being worked out will bring you fulfillment. Before you think there are so many others willing to serve, I don't need to get involved, stop and think. This is not just about you. It's about God, and it's about those around you. You are not just on your own. You have a critical part to play. When each member of God's church plays his or her part, all functioning as God designed, the church is glorious. The church reaches its full potential. And remember, the church is the hope for the world, the many-colored displays of the wisdom of God's grace. As we have been looking at this series of transformed life, many of us have discovered that God has given us a purpose. Today is the day to put that purpose into action. Today is the day where you find the place where your jigsaw piece fits and come to serve God. after the service, just down in the center front here, there's going to be one or two of the church deacons, leaders. And I want to ask you, if you do not serve the church in some way, but you are a regular part of our Sunday congregation, I want to challenge you to come and find a place to serve. You may know what that place is now. You may know what your gifts and skills are. Well, come and just offer them. You may not know, and you might just be coming and say, I need a conversation. Come and do that. Remember, you can experiment. You can try. But God can use you. And I want to challenge us today. This church can do so much more if we have every piece of the jigsaw playing its full part. The deacons will be here. They will take your offer. If you don't know what, they will arrange to make sure that somebody speaks with you very soon, that you can find the place where you are. Is it the music? Is it welcoming? Is it the youth? Is it children? Is it the older generation? Is it cooking food for events? Is it in the meeting place, serving coffee, tea after services, listening, activities, prayer ministry, small groups? I could go on and on and on. There is a place where you fit. It's time to serve and see God's glory reached. Amen.